In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen. This beautiful season, as we come to the close of these 40 glorious days, but not with sadness, with eyes, hopefully not blinded like the blind man, but open by our healing in Christ, looking with joy, not at sadness of, oh, 40 days of Pascha is over. No, it's joy to joy. We're getting ready for something even greater than resurrection. This week we prepare for the feast of ascension. Ascension. So if the Lord destroying death wasn't beautiful enough, now heaven, which has been closed, hasn't seen a man since Adam. The gates of paradise are open, and our Lord in His flesh ascends, fully God and fully man, in His flesh, to take His place at the right hand of the Father, and most importantly, to make a ladder, a way for each of us whom He resurrects to also be in paradise with Him. It's greater, even greater, dare I say, than the resurrection. And then the greatest thing ever, we wait, like the apostles, for the coming of the Holy Spirit and Holy Pentecost, the fulfillment of all creation. So don't be sad, this time is... No, no. We're excited for greater. Let us ascend with Christ in this time. So please, as an aside, don't miss the feast this week. Don't miss it. It's the next step of Pascha, of your spiritual life. So Wednesday night we'll have the service. Thursday morning, the liturgy. Don't miss it. Come and honor this great and holy feast so we can ascend with Christ. And in this last Sunday of this Paschal time, we're given this beautiful blind man. And the Lord says of him, "Thy faith hath saved thee." His faith saved him. And you heard it, hopefully you were listening, you heard the story, he came, he was blind, the Lord spit on the ground, made spittle, put it upon his eyes, much like in creation in Genesis. It should hearken to that, that the Lord, the Spirit of the God, moved over the face of the waters, and the mist came up in the clay, and God made man and breathed His Spirit into him. This is the recreation of man that takes place in the church. The Father said, the clay, the spittle, all are pointing towards what? In the washing in Siloam. Are pointing towards the sacraments of the church. The anointing with oil. The blessing. The blessing and the washing in the pool of Siloam. Baptismal water. Right? All these physical things that God uses to transform us spiritually. They point us to that. This man's faith was incredible. He got kicked out of the synagogue. His parents bailed on him because they were afraid of the Jews. They screamed at him and cast him out. By the way, after this time, no one could talk to him anymore. You couldn't associate with him anymore because he was off limits because he was cast out of the synagogue. He didn't care. He had incredible faith. So how do we know that he had faith besides what the Lord said? Well, the Father said we can look at a few things. First of all, when he heard that someone was coming, he heard the multitude and he said, "Who's here? Who's coming? What's the commotion?" And they said, "Jesus." The man didn't say, "Who's that?" Or, "Okay, who cares? He's not the hot dog vendor. He's not, you know, he's not someone to get money from, so I don't want to talk to him." He said, "Oh," he screamed out, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." The great cry. And that, what does that show? It shows that he knew him. Even though he was blind, he knew by his spiritual eyes that he was the Messiah. Because it had been prophesied, all the Jews knew. After they lived their life in the hopes of this, the Pharisees, like the institution, their monopoly on piety, they weren't really looking anymore. And the simple, poor, blind man knew. And he knew he'd be from the loins of David. So he cried out, "Jesus, Son of David," a prophetic, messianic cry. He didn't say, "Hey, guys, done miracles, have mercy on me." "Jesus, Son of David," which implied, "Son of God, have mercy on me." What's the result? What's the response of the people? "Shh! Shut up! Be quiet! Shut up! Don't make a scene, all right?" It's like if you get uncomfortable around a homeless person. You got to check yourself about that. Right? If I'm up front talking to someone, I've been talking to people, and a homeless person will kind of interrupt and say, "Father Justin, will you help me with some food?" And the person's like, someone talking to very indignant, like, "Oh," I'm like, "Listen." They're desperate and they're asking for help. The world wants to shut us up when we seek God. We often want to shut up people who make us uncomfortable. But he keeps crying. He doesn't give up. He doesn't care what the world thinks. He keeps crying. And the father said that's the second sign of his faith that we can learn from. And then when the Lord is made aware of the commotion, you know, and he has the man come before him, and he stands before him, the Lord asks this beautiful question. What do you want me to do? I mean, it's kind of like, I don't know, like, see? It's like when he asked the man with the paralytic, do you want to be healed? People often go like, come on, Sherlock, of course he wants to be healed. But you see, it's not the point. The answer matters. God can heal anyone, but do we want to be healed? And he shows his faith again by asking very simply and forthrightly. He didn't make it humbly and forthrightly. Here's what I want. And the Lord says his beautiful words, thy faith hath saved thee. And he received his sight. He went and washed and came away seeing. And what did he do afterwards? What was another crown of his faith? He went and followed Christ. And he was an apostle of him. And he told that he was pretty bold. He told the Pharisees to their face, huh, pretty interesting that you're so smart, and yet you've never seen someone do this. Well, you know, I mean, he was bold, and knowing he's going to get kicked out, he didn't care. The fathers say he's an icon of faith for us who are blind. Like Father Paul said so beautifully last night at Vespers, we're all blind. Not just physically blind, spiritually blind. All of us, the fathers say. And faith is what heals it. So, do we have this sort of faith, brothers and sisters? This man was blind in his eyes, but not in his soul. But we have it the opposite way. The fathers are very clear. We have great vision. We see everyone's sins, what everyone's wearing to church, what everyone's doing. But our vision with our soul is real blurry. We don't recognize the God-man, Christ as the Messiah and King and Lord in our whole life, in everything we do, everything we are. Both when we're weak and we're strong, we get forgetful. He couldn't see him. He just heard his name and he believed. We have the fullness of faith. And we often walk away. The multitude said, be quiet. Well, who was the multitude, really? Well, in this case, it was probably some, you know, well-meaning people, probably the apostles among them, the fathers say. But it also means this, the rabble, the crowd, the demons, the world. The world, by the way, this world, more than ever, it was 2,000 years ago, and it's especially now, it says that what we do as Christians is crazy and stupid. Once in a while, people support our faith if it's doing nice things for the homeless or something, but they really think that our life of sacrifice and destroying death by death and loving others more than ourselves is stupid. People do. They, the rabble then and the rabble now, tell us that we're not open-minded enough as Christians. They tell us we're too strict with this or that, or too closed-minded, or we're fanatical, or we're bigots. Because we think marriage between a man and a woman. We're mean-hearted because we think killing a baby in the womb is wrong. It was the case 2,000 years ago. It's the case maybe even more now. In all these things, the world totally fights against our faith. We try to make friends with the world and kind of do both, don't we? Like, I can be really successful and worldly, everyone like me, and I can be a really bold Christian. The Lord says, right, it's one or the other, right? Right? Love of God. Faith in God is, right? It says, love of the world is enmity with God. We have to hear that and ask ourselves, do we live for the world or do we live for Christ? And the decision makes a big difference because the whole world is trying to, shh, don't worry about your cross. Don't worry about fasting. Don't worry. Come on, don't be a weirdo. Be quiet and be normal. Normal. Do we listen to the world? It can be something really simple in small ways. We're afraid to make the sign of the cross when we have a meal. School, or at work, or a business lunch. Are you ashamed of being a Christian? Then he'll be ashamed of you. The Lord says that. Or we just justify false and foolish priorities. I can't go to church because I have to go on this vacation. Now we all go on vacation. Glory to God. But sometimes it can become a thing where it's like church becomes less, and the world, it dictates our priorities, and we throw the scraps to Christ and the church. And then we wonder why our faith is weak and we're still blind. I know a priest friend I spoke to recently, the Paschal season, and he was very sad. A very dear person in his parish said, Just so you know, Father, I'm going to be going to this wedding this upcoming Saturday night. The bachelor part of the wedding is on Sunday. And the priest said, do you know this Saturday night is Pascha? It's Pascha. It's our whole life. And he said, listen, don't be getting all over me. Don't be getting all strict with me, priest. Because, you know, he said, this is what he said. There's going to be many, many Paschas, my friends, only going to get married once. And the priest just hung his head and started to cry. This young man was listening to the rabble, listening to the crowd. By the way, weddings are great. No, I'm not going to say what I'm saying, but Pascha or anything else. Pascha, nothing gets in the way of the resurrection. Or does it? He was listening to the multitude, not just this young man. All of us do this in some measure. Listening to the crowd, far from doing what this man was doing. What was the blind man doing? Crying out, making a fool out of himself. Get out of my way. I don't care if you mock me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. By the way, that's the Jesus prayer. People think the Jesus prayer is just for monastics or ultra-fundamentalist weirdos. They're wrong. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Right? Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me. Throughout the whole gospel, it's these words the early Christians said over and over in their workday, in their icon corners. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, a sinner. Not a five-paragraph essay to God. God, you don't have to do that. If every day, brothers and sisters, you just started praying, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, and shut the world out for a while, you'd come to have faith. Because here's what I really believe from my experience as a priest, as a human being who struggles too. Faith is impossible without prayer. Very few of us pray enough. You might say, no, Father, I stand in front of my icons and I open the prayer book and I do that. Some of you do that. Thank God. But that can become just one more thing to do in our busy day. How many of us, honestly, in a busy day, is it like, we're like, I don't want to do my prayers. And then we do it. We kind of open the book, do it, read the prayers, light the candle, check the box off, and Lord, have mercy. That's drudgery. Who wants to do that? I wouldn't want to do that. Why bother? It's just one more. The church and Jesus doesn't want to be one more thing to hassle you. He wants to be the center of everything that gives you strength to do everything. I think we all need to reevaluate ourselves and our prayer life and realize our faith. And I ask all of you to do this one thing. I want all of you to take time every day, before or after you read the prayers from the book, and I want you to be still. And I want you to fall on your knees in front of your icons, light the candle, totally quiet. It can be in your backyard, wherever. And say, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. And just weep before God and say, I want to know you. I'm an idiot. I'm blind. Help me. Please help me. Because the Lord didn't respond to it like, excuse me, if you had time, would you come over here, please, and help me not be blind anymore? It wasn't polite. It was a cry from the heart. At Vespers, we don't say, I hate this translation, Lord, I have called upon you. No. Hi, Jesus, I'm here. No. He doesn't respond to that. Lord, I have cried unto you. When your child is sick, you cry out to God. Because other things don't matter anymore. But so often we don't cry out to God. We just check the box off with God and then wonder why we're absent. Why he's absent. He's never absent. I beg all of you, person can do this. Fall on your knees before your icons and say the Jesus prayer 5 minutes in the morning and 5 minutes at night. In addition to your other prayers, just start with that. And just say, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. I'm weak. And don't leave that place until you sense his presence. And he will not abandon you. I was Orthodox for a few years before I did this, and the priest made me do it, and I didn't want to do it. And I will tell you, brothers and sisters, it literally changed my life. I felt God, not like a frou-frou, oh, I feel like Pentecostal, like LDS, like I can just feel the Spirit. Kind of. No, we're sober about this. Because you're being humble. You know who you're praying to, the living Jesus Christ. And you know he's there listening. And you're not going to leave until you're consoled. And it's not like, hi, Justin, I've been waiting for you. Not the response that comes. It's quiet. And it's not a vision. We avoid visions. And we're no symbolism. No, we avoid imaginations. We just close our eyes. And we wait in that quiet place like Elijah. God wasn't in the thunder and the lightning of Elijah. In the quiet breeze. And when the living Christ comes and makes himself present, it will scare you to death. And it will scare you to life. More importantly, it will change your entire life. And then you'll go back to those prayers in the prayer book and go,
I've never seen these before. These are my prayers from my heart. And I'm thoroughly convinced that that has to happen for us. Then we're going to love the Psalms and love the gospel and love fasting. Because, forgive me, if we don't have this connection with Christ, this life is drudgery, especially being Orthodox. Right? This is another thing of being religious or something like this. So I beg of you to do it. Do we really pray? Do we ask God for the things we need? I don't think we do. You know, as we get older, I think we get more lessons in asking for what we need. Ask for them. You know, many times in confession, you'll confess something like, I'm struggling with this sin. And I'll say, do you pray about that sin? And the person will say, well, no, I guess not. Pray about it. Say, God, give me humility. God, please take this anger from me. Right? When your kid is really struggling, how often do you really pray for our children? Or if your marriage is bad, how often do you really say, do you care about your spouse enough to say, God, no matter how tired I am, I'm not going to leave this icon corner. I am going to pray for my dear wife and for us to grow together. Not enough. I know many a mom who thinks she's a very prayerful person who loves her kids so much. Today's Mother's Day. Nothing greater than a mother's love. Who will still admit to me that they worry more than they pray. They don't take everything to God. We often don't. Do we think, how do we expect things to get better? You know, do you have unclean thoughts? Everyone does. Have you asked God to purify? Have you spent time asking the doctor to help you? Do we have an icon of the Mother of God that we can stand before, which all the saints say we should? Every night it's important, an icon of Christ and the Mother of God. Turn to Christ and turn to the Mother of God and say, help me. I'm a mess. Help me to be pure. Help me to be... It's a time-tested medicine. We all say, Father, I'm struggling. Oh, this is... But we don't do it. We don't do it enough from a pure heart. We say we love God, and yet we often just kind of make our cross and run here or do a prayer and fall into bed. We certainly don't give it what we need to do. All of us. You have to ask with faith. Not just like a pagan, put the candle in the sandbox, you put the quarter in, pull the machine, and you get what you want out. If only it were that easy. The candle is just an expression of your heart, an offering. The burning candle symbolizes your soul burning in tears, crying to God, saying, help me, help this person, help. That's what you should be thinking when you light a candle. Saying, may our prayers burn before them when the incense goes up. Lord, may our prayers for this person or my idiocy, may it raise the head. May you hear it and heal us. And if we do, he does. The Father show us that. You know, we've often forgotten. The blind man can teach us a lot. The Lord, by the way, he knows everything. He knew what the blind man would do. He knew he would glorify him. He knew all the aspects of his faith that we might lack. He knew his... He believed in him. He knew about his steadfastness of confession, his persistence in crying out and supplicating, and his thanksgiving and boldness before the world afterwards. How do we react? We're given the pearl of great price in this holy parish, this lovely place of healing. And yet we so often forget to thank God, so often. Myself, often, and it breaks my heart. Is there anything in your life that you should give thanks for? People often are depressed and down. I have nothing to give thanks for. It's so easy to forget how good God is to us, even if things are terrible. It's very easy to get wrapped up in our lives. Life gets so complicated, so distracted. But what's really important? The busyness and the hubbub, we can so easily drown. Right? If you're busy at school or busy with your kids or busy at work or the business or you're a doctor or you're a priest, you can get so caught up that we forget. We forget what's happened. And we think we're unhappy. I'm depressed. I'm in despair, Father. I'm not really fulfilled. The Fathers say this, happiness, true happiness, is quite easy to attain if we have faith in God. Right? How do we do that? How do we give thanks? You must remember to pray and make it your life and a priority. You got to remember to see how merciful God has been to you. Take time every day to be thankful to God. Yes, thankful. I know many a person, you know, Down syndrome children, things like this, who aren't quote unquote normal. People I'm with people that are all the time having illnesses or sicknesses or disabilities. And you might think God shafted them. No, actually, quite the contrary. They're amazing people. Like our Giannini. who's not here, who was just baptized, a Brazilian sweetheart. She's a gem. She's a freaking... Sorry, what was that word in church? She's a gem! I mean, my heart... I love that woman. You know why? Simple, lively, amazing faith. And she will tell you, it's because of what the hand the Lord dealt her. She's thankful for her disability. And then you think an opposite person who thinks is blessed by God. He has lots of money. He has lots of this and that and the other. It's a disadvantage. You see, the world looks at it, advantage, disadvantage, and it's the exact opposite in the spiritual life. We have to have eyes to see it as the Lord would honestly want us to see it. Bottom line is this, life is short, brothers and sisters. Last Mother's Day, I was right here with my mama, giving her flowers to her and to my wife. Now, poof, she's in paradise with Christ. Let's not fool ourselves. Could be me tomorrow. Could be you. And we don't face that with fear, or at least we shouldn't. But it reminds us. The Father said the remembrance of death and the Lord's commandments keep us on that path. It's going to happen. I did a funeral a couple weeks ago in Las Vegas. It's going to happen to all of us. I talked to a family this past week, not Orthodox, for whom the family, the father has cancer. He's young. They have a beautiful family. Tear your heart out. And what did I say? Now is the time. Now is the time. Isn't it sad that it takes something like that to wake us up? Why does the Lord allow suffering? Oh, would a good God allow it? Because He wants us to wake up and cry to Him. He doesn't make evil things happen, but He lets it happen. Why? Because He wants you to know Him in the depths of your heart. So He allows you to get sick, allows you to lose your job, allows you to have cancer. But don't go running to something else. Run to Him. The whole crazy world is screaming one thing. The Lord's saying, look to Me. Raise your eyes to heaven. Look to Me. That person's not going to save you. That sin's not going to do it. That job's not going to... Me, only I will save you. And then hopefully we cry from a humble heart. Lord, I'm a mess. I'm a mess. I don't know what I'm doing. Let's not waste our time, brothers and sisters. We don't know how many more times or quiet 5-minute periods we're going to have in our life before we stand before the living God. So let's really, as I'm telling myself this always, I'm not attacking any of you, myself. Let all of us remember to thank God for the so many sweet things that He's given us. And it's way more than you think if you have perspective. Remember to beg Him for the things you need, to thank Him for the things He's given you and the struggles He's given you. And like this beautiful blind man, He could be a model for us. May God help us to live with faith, with fiery faith, to thank God for everything, to take what looks like a disadvantage and make it our advantage, like these dear ones I talked about, to beg Him for help in all things, no matter what the world says. Forget what this crazy, depressed, dying world says. Or broken rabble around us, and they might be our family. They might be our job, our boss. Forget what the rabble says. Live with faith, brothers and sisters. And if we do, if we live as the blind man, if we ask God what we need, if He is with us and is in our life, then the fathers say we can be healed of our spiritual blindness. And we can have a beautiful vision to see how sweet the living Christ is. May our Lord help us to this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen. Amen.